Episode 2176, My Strength is My Story with Ann Nielsen.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching people. Happy every day and Merry Christmas. Can you believe it? It is finally just one day before it is Christmas Eve, and I cannot tell you how ecstatic I am and how joy-filled my heart is to share with you Ann Nielsen. If you don't know her, it's all about angels. I promise you today you will be blessed. You'll want to stay tuned. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Ann Nielsen's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live, love, and impact. Well, I promise you today that you have a calling on your life. God's already given you a passion and a purpose, but you have a calling. And Ann is one who has lived it out. She shares with me some reflections as to how art has become her way of life, but not just any way. It's truly breadcrumbs from heaven. She is going to touch your heart. She's going to warm your spirit. And what better way than this Christmas season to light your path as to where God is taking you? So without further ado, let's welcome in Ann Nielsen's Angels. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. Well, actually, I'm jealous too. Part of my heart is because I always wanted to be a painter. But we have Ann Nielsen in the house. She is a wife of 27 years and mother of their four children, with three girls and one boy. As a lifelong artist, she began painting with oils in 2003 and quickly became nationally renowned for her ethereal angels. She also launched Ann Nielsen Home, a growing collection of luxury home products, including candles, note cards, scripture cards, prints, and journals. Ann is also an author, publishing her first three coffee table books, which she shares inspirational and personal stories behind her paintings and the organizations she supports. Her latest project is her brand new devotional, Ann Nielsen's Angels, Devotions and Art to Encourage, Refresh, and Inspire. Just as her brush expresses beauty with both passion and purpose, be ready to have your heart painted with hope and encouragement. Welcome, my friend and sister in Christ. How are you?
Oh, I am so good. I need to hire you to be my spokesperson. That was beautifully said. Thank you.
It's your story, so it should be beautiful. I'm just saying.
I know, but you just speak it so eloquently. Oh, that was really sweet. Thank you.
Well, you're most welcome. To have an artist in the house, I'm great at stick figures and I can do little things, but you know, I just never, I'm creative, but I never got that.
I would tend to disagree. I think everyone is an artist. And I love that quote by Pablo Picasso that every child is an artist, but the fact is they forget when they grow up. So I do think that, you know, God deposited, you know, into each of some form, some shape of creativity. So I think we're all artists. We just don't know it.
I'll take that as a gift.
Yeah, it's a gift.
It's a gift. I'll do that. Well, what brings you joy, Anne?
Oh, gosh, there's so much. I will tell you, getting in my studio, which is rare these days because I do have a lot going on, putting on my headphones, because now I've got my studio's in our gallery and it's kind of busy, so I have to put my headphones on and listening to praise music and painting to the praise music. That brings me joy and a peace that passes all understanding, and that's where all this creativity just kind of bubbles up. So, that's more of, you know, me and my creative. Another thing that brings me joy is being around family. And I don't care if we're, you know, yelling and screaming, but just knowing that my chickens, my people are all with me, that brings me joy. So
that's beautiful. What type of praise music do you listen to? Are you kind of more the old fashioned? Do you get into the newer?
Yes. I can get into anything. Bethel music, Hillsong music, you know, old hymns, anything that is, you know, Stephen Curtis Chapman. There's a whole great story with him a long time ago. But just anything that's on my Pandora, I'll just listen to. And there's another great story. I can't tell you. I can't recite the words of a song. I can't tell you who the artist is. When I was probably in my 20s, I went to my first Rolling Stones concert. And I had a date, and I was at the concert, and I'm like, oh, they played this song? I love this song. And I never knew. I never connect. And that's the same way today. I love the worship music. I couldn't tell you who's, well, I could tell you a few, but I couldn't tell you the majority of who sings what. But just hearing, you know, God's word being sung and spoken as I paint, it brings that peace, just that peace that passes all understanding.
Wow. I get that sense of, I can see you standing there. Do you stand or sit when you paint?
I stand. Okay. I stand. Yes. Yeah,
that, and so you command your canvas as God commands your heart. How beautiful.
Well, and I do tell, I've got this little, you know, sticker that goes on the back of all my paintings that, you know, we all start out as a blank canvas. And I start out with a blank canvas. And, you know, we might face trials and tribulations of all sorts through, you know, the journey of life. But God adds color and texture. And in the end, there's a beautiful masterpiece that, you know, has been created. And that's what I really want to feel like when I'm in my studio. I start out with a blank canvas. I've got the praise music on. I allow the Holy Spirit just to flow onto that canvas. I don't know. I might be praying for someone that I'm doing the painting for, a commission, or it might be somebody that I don't know who I'm doing it for. But I'm praying and worshiping. And God just, he knows, and he creates this ethereal angel. I do paint other things, but, you know, the draw is the angel series.
So. Oh, well, your pictures are exquisite. They just captivate, and they draw you in, whether it's your prints or your actual paintings themselves. What was it like for little Anne growing up?
Oh, gosh, that's a whole nother story. But I did know in the third grade that I wanted to be an artist when I grew up. I mean, I knew in third grade, I wrote a paper, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And highlighted was there are three sentences, and I want to be an artist. I also knew I wanted to be a wife and a mother. And so I kind of journeyed through my middle school years, my high school years. I was not the greatest student. I even made a D minus in studio art, 10th grade. True story. Yes. Have it on my report card. Showed it to my kids. But I knew I wanted to, you know, create. And I was always creating something, whether I was making pocketbooks and selling them or, you know, doodling in class. That's why I probably made a D in history. Because I was doodling too much. But I just knew that God had created me to create. And it really was a unique journey. It was not the path. I graduated from high school. I went to Florida State for a year and a half. I came back because it was just, that was just not the place for me to be. And came home. I worked for a while. And then I went back to get my education degree and became a third grade teacher. And I was a third grade teacher for 1 year because then that year I was always, you know, pulling in a science project and pairing it with an art, you know, project, maths, you know, subject, and pulling in an art project. And so I, in that year, started a little hand painted pottery business just as a side, just to that creativity side. And then people started buying the pottery, and I was making more money at the pottery than I was at teaching. And I thought, this is the path that I'm going to take. And it was quite the journey. Then I got married really quickly, and then had children, and then put all that on hold until 17 years ago when we built our house and I started painting again.
Wow. What a story. Some people don't even think that, you know, an artist who's so nationally renowned for your actual work, your brushstrokes, you would think, oh, you've been doing this forever. Not that you haven't been, yeah. but it's more recent than it is ancient.
Yes, yes. Wow. So, and 17 years ago when I, we built our house in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I knew, my husband and I got married. We had four children really quickly. I mean, they're all very close in age. And I loved being a mom. I mean, I think one of my favorite memories is when my girls were little, it was before our son was born, we would climb up on our big bed, our big king bed, and I would sketch out like a sea life or an underwater scene. And I would have a big box of crayons and I would give it to my girls and I'd let them color and I would take a nap. And then I'd wake up a couple hours later and they would be asleep. And it was just such a glorious time for me because I was still kind of creating with them. But I had gone to a friend's art show. There were some people that were picking up paintbrushes. And my kids were still little at this time. And I went to the art show and I came home. I was sobbing to my husband. I said, I want to paint. I want to paint. And he said, sweetie, you know, there'll be a time for that. But right now it's your time to be a mom. And I really took those words to heart and poured everything into, you know, being a mom. And then when we built our house, I made sure we had a little studio off the kitchen where when they were at school, I could get in there, blare my praise music through the house because it was just me. And I started painting. And I was painting, I'll never forget my very first painting. It was a still life of a pear. It was ripe. It was green. It was perfect. The composition, it was very simplistic. I love the coloring and the depth that I had put into the painting. I thought my daughter came home from school that day and she said, I was really proud of my painting. And her comment was, Mom, you need art lessons.
Oh, no.
That did not crush my dreams because I kept painting. And then I really, everybody's like, why angels? Why angels? And painting to praise music, I wanted something that reflected my faith. And so I came up with this very first, it was a tiny little angel, very colorful. I experimented with different palette colors and texture. It was lots of palette knife work. And I sent a picture to my sister. And I said, what do you think? And she said, I think you found your voice. And I was like, okay. So I started painting angels. And that was the start of this incredible journey that God, you know, captured my heart, put my feet on this path. And let me tell you, there were days that I doubted that this is what I should be doing. And I would surrender to him and he would knock me over the head and I'd be okay. Okay, but that went on for years and years. And but I knew that it's this journey that now has become a ministry, really. There's a story behind that. But so it's been really neat to see his plans unfold when you just surrender to him.
And it's a beautiful thing. And for you, it's become your life song.
It has become a love song.
You know, and to think about, though, that you're in your studio, you paint, and you have music, it truly is a life song. But that life song gives hope and encouragement to others. It also got the attention of Kathy Lee Gifford. And she wrote the foreword in your book, and she referenced Psalm 91:11. She wrote, for he will command, or actually it was in the Bible, yes. I'm quoting, not yes. her, but the Bible here.
Yes.
Let's get that right.
Yeah.
But she included this in her write-up. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Where has angels showed up in your life?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. And, you know, I feel like, and when I sign these books, that's my angels surround you always. And that is my scripture verse. And everybody's asking, do you see angels? Have you ever seen angels? And I don't think that I've actually physically seen an angel. I know of people who have seen angels and their stories are compelling. But I feel like being able to, you know, get lost in that painting process. I feel like God creates these beings on the canvas. And I like to tell people, there are no two fingerprints alike. There are no two snowflakes alike. And I want to believe there are no two angel wings alike that have been created onto this canvas. But, you know, I feel like, and we all believe in angels, I believe. I mean, even if you're not a believer, I believe you believe in a guardian angel, I would like to say or think. But I want to share this one really interesting story. A lady came into my studio. This was years ago. It was about 8 years ago when the first book came out. And she proceeded to tell me that when she was born, her mother went down to the chapel when they were leaving, you know, to go leaving the hospital to pray that the Lord would always put angels around her little daughter. And but the mom never told the daughter that. Fast forward, she's in her late 30s, I think, and she has to have surgery. And she's in the hospital, and all the nurses are like, there are angels all around you. And when she came out of surgery, her mom came to the hospital, and the daughter was sharing the story, and the mom shared the story when she left the hospital when she was a little baby. So then fast forward, she's moving to Charlotte, and she's at a home looking at a house to purchase with her real estate agent, and there's a mom and a seven-year-old daughter that are in, that own the house, and the daughter's in the kitchen drawing. And when the lady was leaving the house after touring the house, the daughter came up and gave her the piece of paper and said, had a central figure in the center and then angels all around her. And she said, I see angels surrounding you. And the lady pulled this drawing out to share it with me. And I'm like, oh, so I know that, you know, there are angels, and I pray daily that not just one guardian angel would guard me and my family and my children, but an army of his angels. And so it's, angels are, you know, not as powerful as Jesus Christ, but they're around for a reason. So,
and we need that army.
We need that army now more than ever. And I was doing a show with Kathy Lee. She has a place in Ocean Reef. And this is a couple of years ago. We were doing a book signing, and then there was a gallery that I did a show there. And as I was preparing for that show, I was really praying, Lord, this was one of my times of struggling. You know, I don't want to just crank these angels out just to crank out angels. I want them to have meaning and purpose to the person that, you know, they're connecting with, the homes that they're going into. And I can remember like it was yesterday, praying this prayer, painting a body of works, sending it to Florida. I get there, half the work sold before I even got there. And then the night of, Kathy and I are, you know, we're signing books, and this girl shows up. And she had just lost her father. So I was assigned a book to her. I, you know, gave her a big hug and gave her the book. And she walked out the door. And this gallery was tiny. And so the next thing I know, she did a beeline, a U-turn, came back sobbing. And she's like, I've never had art speak to me the way that that angel at the front door spoke to me. And I was just like, okay, thank you, Lord. That was just another confirmation of, you know, it's not about me, it's all about him. And when he gives us the gifts and the tools, and, you know, it's just that we've got to walk in obedience to the calling. And I did struggle. I mean, am I supposed to go to more PTA meetings? Am I supposed to, you know, be a Bible study leader, which I was, which I backed out of, to paint? And I thought that was a very selfish thing for me to do and want to do, is paint. But he just kept reminding me, I have given you this gift. It is for my glory. You walk in my ways, and I will show you the way. And so it really has been a neat journey. So anyway, I don't know if that really answered your question about angels.
No, I think it's beautiful. And it's so perfect, Anne, because we all look for and hope for, I think, for those God winks.
Yes.
And God has given that to you in your journey with art.
Yes.
Putting people in your path. A little birdie told me that you do have a story, and you mentioned Stephen Curtis Chapman earlier. Oh, would you mind sharing that story? Because it is a beautiful one.
Do you know that story?
I know it, yes.
Okay. So like I said, I paint to praise music. And early on, Stephen Curtis Chapman was, you know, I loved, and I still do. He's a dear friend now, but loved his music. And this was probably about 15 years ago. Well, not when I started listening. I had moved out of my house, and I had a bigger studio outside of my home. And I started painting, you know, continue painting. But anyway, when the news about his daughter, Maria Sue, came out, he had adopted those beautiful three children from China. And she was the youngest of the three. And she suddenly was tragically killed. And I went into mourning. And I was just like, oh my gosh. So I just thought, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, paint them an angel, which I did. It was about a 16 by 16 canvas size painting. It was not your typical colors that were on my palette at that time. They were more pastels, and it was of the backside of an angel with a little girl, dark hair, with her hair tousled in a red ponytail holder. And that painting was in July or August. And the painting sat in my studio for a couple of weeks, maybe even a month. And I debated, I don't know how to send it. I don't know if it, you know, if the colors are the right colors. And so it sat in my studio, and I kept hearing the nudge of the Holy Spirit to send. So we have a friend in Charlotte, her son is in Nashville. And I said, if I got it to, you know, Ed, would he be able to get it to the Chapmans, which he did. And this is when I was also leading a Bible group, a Bible study, a small group. It was a bigger group. And then we broke out in small groups, and I was a leader of a smaller group. And I'll never forget this. One of my dear friends was leading the big group in a teaching about God, and we serve a big God. And we tend to keep our big God in a very small box, and we limit him. With the things that he can do. And I was telling my small group about Stephen Curtis Chapman, and, you know, this was early on. I mean, this was a hobby of, you know, escaping and going to my studio and painting while the kids were at school. But I shared that story about painting this painting for Stephen Curtis Chapman, for the Chapman family, and for sending it, you know, and I said, I probably never will hear from the Chapmans, but out of obedience, I did this. Well, I get in my car that morning, right after Bible study, and I open my emails, and there's an email from their assistant, Grace, who had said, oh my gosh, I got to share, you know, this painting that came your way, the Chapmans, they about dropped it, it's same colors of their home, and little Maria Sue always wore her hair tousled in a red ponytail holder. And I just was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, get God out of that big box. And I, you know, tears just started streaming. And I knew then, you know, God has given me this gift. I've got to continue to be obedient. And anyway, so fast forward years later, it was about 3 or 4 years, probably 4 years ago. Stephen and Mary Beth came to our gallery. We did a night unplugged. We got to spend time in it was a newer studio at this time, but a night in my studio, and share and pray and just talk. And then we just had them back this past October in our backyard and raised money for Show Hope. So I just love how God, you know, I tell people he connects his people together for a higher purpose that we it's like that tapestry. We don't really understand, but he's weaving and he's connecting us all, and there's a higher purpose for all of that. But anyway, that was a really touching and powerful story, and that story is in the first book, the first Angels in Our Midst book.
Absolutely. Breathtaking, truly. I mean, goosebumps all over, tears of joy. They've been through a lot.
Yeah.
The Chapman family have been.
Yes.
And for you to bless them in a way that only God could see.
Yeah.
And he used you as an instrument for them, honestly, probably to help heal.
Yeah.
They're a hole in their heart. It'll never be replaced, but to fill a gap there. And you were that instrument. And y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Ann Nielsen's Angels, Devotions and Art to Encourage, Refresh, and Inspire. Well, this book that you have out is gorgeous. It is.
Thank you.
I wouldn't even say it's a coffee table book. I mean, it is, yes. But it's one that you got to use it, you know? It's awesome because it's a 40-day devotional. It's comprised of 40 words, singular words, where you give the meaning of one word, your reflections, a prayer, a scripture, and a gorgeous angel painting. None of the angel paintings are alike. So I could say that you could have 40 angels of Ann Nielsen, just saying, in your home in this book. Well, my curiosity, though, is this. Devotionals usually have a phrase or a statement. Yours is one word. What was your reason behind that?
Well, that is a really good question. And I'm just going to have to defer to my wonderful Thomas Nelson and HarperCollins. You know, when Angels in Our Midst came out, the first book, it was a coffee table book. And the reason why I published the first book was because, you know, there were so many stories behind, like Stephen Curtis Chapman. And I got a phone call from Oprah Winfrey one night. That was crazy. And, you know, and then the angels started growing in value, and they were not selling at my kitchen counter anymore. They were in galleries, and one sold at an auction for more than a Mercedes-Benz. So it was a little crazy. And so everybody was like, I wish I, you know, had bought one back then. And I thought, I'm going to write a coffee table book. That way everybody can have an angel. They can get a little razor and cut it out and frame out the angel. And then there are all these stories. And I self-published. That came out 8 years ago in October. And I got a phone call or an email from someone saying, oh my gosh, because you think about it, coffee table books, typically what I do is I stack them on my coffee table. I rarely read coffee table books.
They're there to look pretty.
They're looked pretty. And this one girl emailed me and said, oh my gosh, I've had your coffee table book on my coffee table for months now. I just picked it up, read it cover to cover. It is my new devotional. And I'm thinking, that's a little bulky and it's a little heavy and it's a little awkward. I need to get working on a devotional. And I kind of went down, you know, the road of, do I self-publish again or do I, you know, I wanted to publish because we're at that tipping point. Not everybody knows, you know, about Ann Nielsen's Angels or Ann Nielsen Angels in Our Midst. Strokes of Compassion was the second book that came out. And so the whole publishing, you know, that was just such a divine appointment. And so they came up with the title and I kind of fought them for a little bit. And but then I thought the more we thought about it, we thought that's just so fitting. And for a book such as this, because we toyed with, do we want a 365-day book? And I'm like, well, I can't paint 365 angels. 40 is a good number. 40 is a good significant number in the Bible. So let's stick with 40. And I think they did a beautiful job putting this together. And we came up with 40 words. And the devotionals are all just reflections of my journey. I feel like my life is a devotional. I feel like God a lot of the time shows me in the physical what's going on in the spiritual. And he kind of just connects it all together. That would be our wonderful Thomas Nelson that kind of their team came up with that. And there you go.
Well, and it's so simplistic.
Yes.
I think we have a tendency to try to make God complicated.
Yes.
And
it's simple.
Yes. He loves us because he loves us.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah,
no.
There's no extra. We don't
That's
need to add on.
That's what I try to tell my kids every single day. So, yeah, no, the simplicity of it all. And, you know, I feel like these, you know, my palette is simple. I don't use a whole lot of colors. And I love putting like maybe four colors down and seeing what is created out of that, or even three colors on a palette and what's created out of that.
I can only imagine, though, when I'm sitting here going, four colors? Okay, I get that. You can mix colors. I know enough to be dangerous with art.
That gives me joy, is mixing colors. I love mixing colors.
I can't imagine how many different colors just from even three colors. If we think about the Trinity, yeah, and you think about three colors, how many different colors come from just three individual colors? Pretty amazing. It's beautiful. Well, you know, and when people ask, how are you? The quick response is busy. How do you define busy?
Good question there. And that's one of my favorite words, because everybody would say, oh my gosh, you're so busy. You're so busy. You're so busy. And if you stop and think, we are all so busy. I mean, all of us are so busy, whether you're a mom with toddlers or a mom with teens or, you know, in the workforce or, you know what, we are all so busy. But I don't want to glorify that word. And I came up with a little acronym. This is when I was speaking, you know, out in the day. I miss those days. But be uniquely serving Yahweh by using what is specifically yours. And that's how I want us to really redirect our focus on being busy. Be uniquely serving Yahweh by using what is specifically yours. And so I don't consider myself busy. There are days that we get, like we think we're drinking through a fire hose. But we got to stop. We got to pause. We've got to surrender. And we've got to know and trust that God is seated. He's not busy. He is seated on his throne. And he's not pacing back and forth. He is seated. And so I hope that somebody can come away with that, you know, don't glorify that word busy. Don't glorify being busy, but be uniquely serving Yahweh by using what is specifically yours.
That is out of this world, stupendous, and I'm going to steal it and say it's all yours. But it is. It's fantastic because it becomes our everyday answer.
Yeah.
And when your everyday answer is constantly busy, okay, it's one thing if it's directed right, uniquely serving Yahweh, if that direction is correct. Right. But if it's just stuff and we're filling our life with stuff, it's a mess.
You got to dig up the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good story about when we built our house 17 years ago and the foundation. And that's a whole nother. Building this house, I knew I wanted to write a book called Building a House God's Way, because God just kept showing me in the physical stuff that was, you know, needed to happen in the spiritual. But we were building we were digging for the foundation. And, you know, a foundation's only 12 to 18 inches when they pour the concrete and stuff. And so on the left side of our house, there was bad dirt. It was tallow. And they had to dig and dig and dig and dig, like almost 10 feet, dig up all the bad dirt. And my builder was so worried and so concerned that we weren't going to have enough, you know, of the concrete for that job. And the Lord just, you know, showed me that had we not, you know, dug up the bad dirt and we had just settled for that, whatever the standard 12 to 16, that part of that house would be compromised. And over time, its structure would cave in. And so you really have to, and so the Lord just, he would show me things like that all the time in this process of building a home. But I thought that that was so, you know, we just got to dig up the stuff, just dig it up and give it to God, so that his foundation and his promises and everything would be on a sure foundation.
Well, speaking solid of that, yeah, solid foundation. And when we look at that, for the ones who are stuck and busy, the hustle and bustle of this season, how would you encourage them to dig it up?
Oh, I've been trying to get my girls to do this too, pause. And, you know, if you're an early morning person, and, you know, I'm not as early as when my kids were toddlers. I mean, I would like to say I'd like to get up at 5 a.m. like my husband does, but I don't. I get to snuggle till maybe 6:30 or 7. But anyway, try to before your feet ever hit the ground, you know, start that conversation with God, because it is a 24/7 conversation. As I try to tell my kids, it's not about religion, but it's about a relationship. And you've really got to cultivate that relationship early on. And so before my feet ever hit the floor, you know, I'm just telling them, I'm talking to them, I'm sharing with them. And then try to find pockets of time during your day to pause. And one of the things that I love to do, we all have these phones.
Yes.
Glued at our hips. Yes. And and this is not my idea. A dear, dear, dear friend, prayer warrior friend, told me she was doing this. This was years ago, so I adopted this plan. But I plug in scripture on my phone. So one of my favorite scriptures is Ephesians 3:20. So I put the entire scripture in the calendar. I wrote it out. And at 3:20 p.m., not a.m., because I'm not a morning person. Kathy Lee would be up at 3:20 a.m.
She would be.
Not me. But my phone, just every day, that scripture pops up on my reminder, and the whole full scripture pops up, that God can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. And that's just a time, and I've got more. I've got prayers for my children, prayers for my marriage, and prayers for other people. And every day they just pop up, and it's just a reminder that we can just pause, you know, if your phone is right there with you, and just claim his word. His word is living and active and sharper than any other, any double-edged sword. And that is our weapon in this world. And so just take time. It doesn't have to be a, you know, you spend 30 minutes or an hour and then that you check that box off. It is every hour, every minute, every second of the day to try to connect with God. And I do think that when you surrender, you know, everything to him, surrendered hands, surrendered hearts, and he will go before your day. And it's not going to be as busy as you would think it would be.
So good, Anne. Oh my goodness. Well, I know when everybody picks up their own copy of Anne Nielsen's Angels, they're going to be like, yes, this is awesome. This is exactly what I wanted. And it's not going to be that coffee table book. It's going to be one that you're going to pick up and you're going to want to use. So speaking of using, you have 40 words in here. You start that with the first word being love. The second, I believe, is life. And the third is gift.
Yes.
A particular order as into why you started with those? I mean, I think maybe some would have started with purpose or, you know, or I don't know, identity or forgiveness might be a big one. Why love, life, and gift?
Well, that is another good question that you're asking. There was really no reason. When you just said that, love, life, and gift, and you think about God, God is love. God wants us to love. And right now, and where we are as a country and a nation, and, you know, we have got to come together. And I believe that's got to be number one, love. Love one another just as God loves you. And life, I think life is precious. Life is short. I've had so many, because of this journey and this ministry, life is short. I had when Kathy Lee and I met eight years ago, she's become one of my dear soul sisters, friends. She held up my book on the Today Show, and a week later, this lady called me. And she said, I've got to tell you, my four-year-old granddaughter passed away two years ago. So 4 years, 2 years. And I have not been able to grieve. But I got your book. I read it cover to cover. And it's like the floodgates of heaven have opened up and the healing process has begun. And I knew then that so this passion and this purpose and this gift that God has given me has now turned to a ministry. And so, you know, life is short. And I hear that, you know, I have countless people, you know, come to me and we sit and we share and they share their stories about, you know, loved ones that have passed away way too early. Or maybe it's their, you know, their parents that are passed away at 80. That's still young. And then gift. We have every good and perfect gift is from above. And how are we using our gifts? How are we using it for his glory and for his kingdom? So Now that you said that, that's a good order to start, and then all the rest can fall into place.
I love that too, because it's also three, the Trinity.
Yes.
Better way than to combine it?
You know, you've got what a gift we have in Jesus. I mean, and the holiday. I mean, it is the ultimate gift. And I'll also share this because I was talking to one of my daughters has a hard time receiving gifts. And that's not our love language, and that's okay. But I said, you've got to learn how to receive a gift, because ultimately God died. Jesus was hung on a cross for you. And you've got to receive that as a gift. And so I'll never forget taking a gift to an elderly friend of mine. This was years ago. And she didn't want to accept it. She didn't want a gift from me. And I kept saying, no, please. And she's like, no. But she eventually took it. And as I walked away, I just, you know, I had this burden in my heart for her. Like, she might just put it up on a shelf and never, you know, unwrap or untie that bow and enjoy the contents that are in that package. And that's kind of like, you know, faith. If we can't accept that gift of Jesus and what he did for us, wow. I mean, that we got to unwrap and get the fullness of what he did on that cross for us. So that's a major gift.
A very major gift. And when you were talking about unwrapping the bow, I think about how complicated life is.
Yeah.
But when you unwrap it, God's always there, and look at the blessings that he has in store.
Amen. Amen. You know, even through the trials and the tribulations that we all, you know, go through. We all go through them.
We do. So. Yeah. Yeah. And there are different ones. Now, we only covered three words. There's 37 other words, if my calculations still add up. I don't know. Now that I found out you're a third grade teacher, or you were doing that, now I'm really concerned. I kind of really think about my math. But some of those one words were like obedience, wisdom, create, provision, identity, and entrust. When you were writing the devotional, which one jumped out as if God was telling you, Anne, pay attention?
Oh, gosh. That's a good question. You're asking some really tough, tough questions.
It's the brushstrokes.
One that really that jumps out when you were saying that is the one on gratitude. And I'll never forget that moment. And I don't want to give away the story, but it happens. It's about my son, and I had, you know, prepared this beautiful meal, and he didn't want to partake in the meal. And I had this great little message to him. And I just think that gratitude, even in the smallest things, you know, we got to be grateful along this journey of life, no matter what, because that's a big word there, being grateful.
Yeah, it's definitely a big word. I love that you picked that one. Well, in your art, I know you've had... I'm sure you've had encounters with God. Where has he met you in your brushstrokes?
Oh, every day. I mean, I can't even describe it. I was able to paint this past Saturday. Was it Saturday? And the days are all kind of, you know, they go into each other. But it was only for an hour, but I got to put the praise music on, and it's almost like an out-of-body experience. And I know that sounds crazy, and people are going to think I have like five heads on my shoulders right now, but I can't describe it. But it's that connection with a living God that we serve. And I do believe that, you know, in our world where we're so connected through internet and through social media and through... But there's such a disconnection. And, you know, I feel like when I put on my praise music and I get the ability to create, because he created me, there's just such an intimate connection with him. And I miss that, you know, I miss the opportunity of spending hours in my studio doing that. Now, the time is a little bit more, it's a little less these days, but he does provide. He provides pockets in those times, but that is a connection. And I just feel like he, you know, just opens my heart and my mind and my spirit to connect with him. For whatever it might be, praying for somebody, praying for someone who lost a daughter in a tragic accident, praying for my family, praying for my business. Running a business is tough. We have, I don't know how many employees we have, a lot right now, 10?
Nine, 10.
And I'm like an artist. I'm not a business manager. But I've got a great business manager here.
Woo! We need those business managers in our life for sure. It is. Well, because you are so busy, and I want people also to think about your acronym of busy, how do you make time in your daily life with God? Because you mentioned earlier that it's 24/7 with God. And I think a lot of us try to say, I'm only with him in the morning or when I'm sitting down with my Bible. Your discussion is saying that's not true for your life.
No, I mean, I do get up. I try every morning just to sit. I've got a wonderful room. I call it my little blue room. But and I have a chair that I love, and I sit and I read my Bible. And right now I'm reading through the Psalms. And I've got devotions that I read, and I do a lot of journaling. And I'm not one that, you know, journals every single day. But I journal, you know, a lot. And then once I leave that room, I don't leave it. You know, he's with me. And it's, like I said, it is a conversation. It is a dialogue that, you know, we're constantly having throughout the day. And there are days that, yes, I do get busy and I, you know, he's knocking and he's trying to get my attention and I'm, you know, the static and the noise of the world kind of drowns him out. But when I truly stop, you know, I'm like, okay, wait, you're in control, not me. I'll listen to you. And it's just that conversation. You can be washing your dishes and talking to God. You can be folding laundry and talking to God. You don't have to be, you know, in your, you know, in your prayer chair, reading your Bible just to be connecting to God. It is a 24/7, you know, act for me. And again, like I said, you know, have those scriptures pop up on your phone as reminders. Write them out on sticky notes. Put them on your rearview mirror. Put them on, you know, your refrigerator. Anywhere and any way you can get God's word deep down into the depths of your soul. That's a good thing. 24/7.
Amen. I love that. When you were talking about laundry, I'm thinking, yeah, laundry. I do it with lettuce, a different L. When I'm at the grocery store, you know, I'll find myself, yeah. Okay, you know, because you stand for your produce. At least I do. And I'm sitting here going, yeah. Well, do I like the look of this or this or this? And all, next thing you know, I'm having a conversation with God going, well, which one would you pick, Lord?
There you go. And he will give you the piece that passes on the sand to pick the right lettuce.
That's right. The one that doesn't have all the extra chemicals. Anyway, that's for another episode. But yeah. I just love that you point that out, Anne, because yeah. I do believe a lot of us are trying to compartmentalize God. We fit him into our schedule instead of saying, no, wait. It's not about fitting him into our schedule. He wants to be with us, walking next to us in it all.
And carrying us when we need carried.
Amen.
Holding our hands. And, you know, so yes.
Most definitely. Well, words are powerful. Obviously, you wrote a devotion focusing on 40 specific words. In this season of life, if you had to pick a favorite word, what word would you choose? And you don't have to pick one that's in your devotional, but if you want to, you can.
I'm going to stick with joy. Joy. That is one in my devotional, and my first name is Joy. But I just really, I want to be filled with, and my kids would argue that I'm more of a helicopter mom, and, you know, I'm not as joyful. My son is, like I said, he, you know, is in the Navy, so I've been writing letters, and at the end of every letter, I try to put a little joke at the bottom, like a little knock-knock joke. And I'm like, I'm trying to be joyful here, honey. But
work with
really,
me, son.
Yeah, work with me. Really trying to be overflowing with the joy that cannot be stolen or taken from any kind of circumstance, from any kind of news or, you know, anything that's going on around us, but being filled with, you know, his joy that he fills us with. So I would say joy.
That's wonderful. I love it.
I love my friend, dear friend, one of my dearest high school friend passed away. It'll be 2 years this June, so a year and a half. And her sister, she was like my family, in high school. And her sister and I were talking, and she's in the introduction because Laura was on her exercise mat, and Jane would always pick a word for the year. And this was this past January, and Laura was just like, my word's going to be dread. And she's on the exercise mat, and the Lord said, no, it's going to be joy. And she argued with him, said, no, it's going to be dread. I'm dreading this year ahead. And he said, no, it's going to be joy. And so they had this like conversation back and forth for like, 10 minutes. And finally she conceded to joy. And, she was telling me, she said, Anne, if I had chosen dread, think about it. I would dread getting out of bed. I would dread going to the grocery store, picking out lettuce. I would dread, all the mundane things of life, but she chose joy no matter what. And it's so hard not having Jane here, but she chose the word joy. And she knows that God is the fulfiller of his promises for her, her family, for Jane's family. So words are powerful, and words can either build up or they can tear down. And they're powerful for us individuals to cling to. Because they can destroy us and our self-esteem and our, or they can build us up. And so I choose joy.
Mm. I love that story. And, to Laura's family, of course, our heart goes out to them. They're still healing in that process. Yeah. But for them, that also, she chose joy. That's a gift that she left as a legacy.
Yeah.
That, it was in her choosing that this is what she wanted. So what a beautiful story. So beautiful. Well, as an artist, you have mastered many brushstrokes. What area is God still working to perfect in you?
Oh, golly. I think all areas we are. Oh, good question. Well, I think I'm a very patient person, so I think I got that check done. But I think that just truly trusting him on this journey and letting go and letting God, kind of step into the driver's seat. And it's exciting to have a devotional, a published devotional, all the fun things that I get to do. But I do think that he wants me to, not jump ahead of him, which I tend to do. And he wants me to really, wait on him, wait on his timing and trust him. And I'll tell you another fun story. So, when the first two books came out, they were published, Ron Hall, I don't know if you read the book, Same Kind of Different as Me. Mm-hmm. Have you read that book?
Yes.
So international art dealer, homeless man, how their lives collided, amazing true story. Ron and I are dear, dear friends. He wrote the foreword to my first book, Angels in Our Midst. Love Ron. And we had a big 400 person luncheon launch for the book. I had no idea what I was doing. It was just me. I mean, I was painting. I got these 1500, books in my studio, cartons of crates of books. And so I was painting, I was shipping out books. And 3 weeks later, the books were gone. And I'm going with the story. And so the next, because of that book and my connection with Kathy Lee and all the stories, I did a second book. And that launch, Kathy Lee came, 400 people. You know, it was a big launch. It was really exciting. So the devotional comes out, and, you know, I'm thinking, it's COVID. We can't do a launch. There's nothing we can do. You know, and Tuesday, the day of the launch, came and went, and I was a little disappointed. I woke up Wednesday, and I was sitting in my little blue chair saying my prayers, and I remember I just surrendered it to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know what? You've called me. You've equipped me. This is your baby. I'm going to trust that you're going to do immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine. At 10:20, I was getting my hair done, and I get this text from a friend, and it was a distant friend. I mean, I didn't know this person very well, but anyway, he said, congratulations, your book. I just saw this clip. Well, Hoda and Jenna had held it up on their Can't Live Without on that the day after, and tears just started streaming. The hairdresser was like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, I'm great. I'm so great.
I'm great.
But God is so big, and he is so good. Do you know how good he is? So I just, you know, and that was just such a really sweet thing that he did, because that was a friend, Kathy, you know, a friend of a friend, you know, someone got it to Hoda, and she decided to hold it up that day. And so it really was a powerful blessing for me to know that no matter what, he's in control. He's in control of everything. And the fact that they're sold out on Amazon, I did not know that. Dang. So anyway, I just think that he's really working on me to not jump ahead, because I like to dream big. And not that he doesn't want me to dream big, but he wants me to, where I am right now, to trust him that he's going to go before. And he gets all the glory for all that. He got all the glory for, you know, it wasn't Hoda. It was God who planted that little seed in her to hold it up on that day after I had prayed. Lord, I mean, and I think he does that a lot to his children that he loves so much. He gives us these nuggets, and, you know, he taps on our shoulders, and he just wants us to look up and just say, thank you, thank you. So I think, you know, he's going to continue to work and shape and mold me. As there's a, in the second Strokes of Compassion, there's a great story about, you know, we are the clay. He is the potter. We are the clay, and he shapes and he molds us. And he will continue to do that until we meet him face to face in heaven. So.
Amen. Oh my gosh. That is absolutely gorgeous. Well, I know, and people are going to want to connect with you. Where can they find you?
So they can find us on Instagram. We're at Ann Nielsen Home. And then our website is annnielsenhomeaswell.com. And because this is such a great story, I never dreamed. I thought I was going to do the one coffee table book where people could cut the angels. I mean, there's some full bleed angels that are, you know, 9x12. You could frame those. They're beautiful angels. I never dreamed that I would have a full product line and a full company. Couple of things. So that year that I met Kathy, and that was such a powerful story. I had been asked to do a art show in Essex, Connecticut. And I was debating, do I do it? It was in March, and the book had come out in October, and I was really busy shipping and, you know, painting. It was just me. And so I was like, do I do it? I'm so busy. I don't know if I can do it. But Kathy and I, she emailed me, she had gotten a copy of my book, and I gotten an email at 9:50 on a Thursday. And she said, oh my gosh, I'm going to be late. First time ever to start my show. I cannot put this book down. It is so anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to meet this side of heaven. How, when? And I was like, well, I'm coming to New York tomorrow, which I really was. I was taking my three girls to New York, and she was going out of town, and that was in January. So anyway, fast forward, I said, I'm coming to Essex. How far is that? It was about an hour and a half away from her. And I said, okay, I'm going. I'm going to do the show. So I sent a body of works there, packed up my husband, my two middle girls, and we fly to Essex, Connecticut. We arrive, and I get an email from Kathy saying she's not going to be able to come. her aunt's or her assistant's aunt had passed away, and the funeral was that Saturday, and she wasn't going to come. And my girls were griping and complaining. The town was is precious, but it was buttoned up, snow everywhere, dreary, rainy weekend. And my kids were like, "Why did you drag us all here? Nobody's going to show up. Nobody's going to come." And they were just griping in the back. And I turned around that rental car and I said, "Whoa, we are not going to complain, but we're going to pray right now. Whether one person shows up or nobody shows up, we're going to be blessed and we're going to be a blessing." So the next day we go to the show, and about 30 minutes into it, the gallery director came up and said, "Kathy Lee's up front." And I'm like, "Oh, wow." And so I walked up there and she gave me the biggest hug, like we were long lost friends. And she said, "I bet you're wondering why I'm here." She said, "The Lord woke me up at 4 a.m. to tell me I needed to come and encourage you. So here I am." She had her driver drive her an hour and a half in the drizzly rain at 5 o'clock. And that just, oh my gosh. And then she prayed for me in the gallery and we signed books. I was signing all these books to all these like people that I was like, "Oh my gosh, I love that person." I mean, I was a little starstruck. And that was the next day, that Monday, she held up the book on the Today Show. And so there's a point to this story, product line. So the next year, she asked if we would do her note cards, and which we did, and or her not her note cards, her Christmas card. And so we did it. There was a segment, Kathy and Hoda, and she was talking about how she had hurt her eye. And she said, "I was on the treadmill. And, you know, the UPS, my gate was broken. The UPS guy was down there. And I put my Uggs on and I ran down there. She slipped on ice, hit her, you know, eye, had a black eye, but they covered it up with makeup." She goes, "But I got my Ann Nielsen Christmas cards." And our phone started ringing. "Do y'all do cards?" I'm like, "We do now." And so that, I always go back, "Kathy, you're the reason why we have a full product line." So it started with note cards, and then we did journals because I love to journal. And then we did a candle line, and then we did a scripture card line. And now it's just blowing up. It's just, we've got so many incredible, neat, fun angels obtainable. I mean, you know, not everybody can afford original, but now we've got a product line where people can, you know, enjoy these ethereal angels. And so anyway, and a devotional.
And a way to extend the blessings to so many people now. Blessing.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I absolutely love that.
And that's the whole, we haven't even touched on the fact that, you know, when I first started painting early on, I was working at my passion was to paint. And so I would, you know, sneak in my studio and paint. And then my purpose was to give back. And one day I was at the homeless center here in Charlotte, and I was preparing physical food while about 300 homeless, we call them neighbors, were in the gym receiving spiritual food. There was a big revival, worship music, a preacher. And that day I was looking around and it was like these people had nothing and yet they were worshiping God. And it was the most powerful day. And I got in my brand new Suburban. I was driving home to our brand new home and I was just sobbing. I'm like, how am I going to be a wife, a good mom? You know, my passion was to paint, but my heart wanted to serve. How am I going to do all this? And I clearly felt like I heard God say, paint and give back. And that started this journey of taking proceeds from anything that I ever sold and giving back to the homeless, having art shows and giving 50% back to the homeless, you know, the product line giving, you know, so it's all about giving back. And when I met Ron for the first time about 12 or 13 years ago, Ron Hall is the art dealer from Same Kind of Different as Me, and had the privilege of being with Denver and Ron at a fundraiser. And I said, "Ron, what was the latest painting you sold and how much did you sell it for?" And he said, "Well, it was about this big. It was a Remington and it sold for $7.5 million. And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, what we could do with that money. We could change the world." And my husband, we were driving to a cocktail party and Ron was in the back and Clark just looked at me and he said, "Honey, that artist is deceased. I'd like for you to stick around." It's like, but I want to change the world. And so then fast forward a couple of months later, or this was, 8 years ago, but Ron was with us and we were in Miami at the big Art Basel Miami show. And there was art that was selling for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. And I'm like, I'm out of this world. I can't compete. And I felt like God just said, no. I want you in this world. I want you to be a light in this world and use art to give back. And so with that, I took a leap of faith and I opened a gallery where we represent about 50, 60 different artists all over the country. And we use art to give back. Every month we choose an organization and we give back. And we've, you know, been able to give a little over $500,000 over the past 6 years. So we're making tiny steps to that big dream of really making an impact in our world. So that's kind of the full why we have a product line and why we do what we do.
Well, you're impacting many, Anne, and I know that's another reason why people are going to want to pick up their own copy of Anne Nielsen's Angels, Devotions and Art to Encourage, Refresh, and Inspire. Well, before I let you go, because I'm sure you have something like maybe painting to do. I don't know.
I'm hoping I'm going to paint. Yes.
That would be wonderful.
Today's the day.
Today is it. Well, before I let you go, I have one last question. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your art gifted you?
Oh, gosh. The confidence, not self-confidence, but Christ confidence. Knowing that, one, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, no matter what, my flaws, my faults, and, you know, I've got a story and I've got a journey. I hope one day to write the whole memoir. But Christ confidence, knowing that he has created me to do this journey for his glory. So I just, you know, and I like to tell my kids, don't have self-confidence, have Christ confidence. And so just cling to that every day, knowing that he will equip, that he will go before, that he will surround me, my family, the loved ones, people I'm praying for, everyone with his mighty warring army of angels. So that's
so beautiful. I'm awestruck. It is just what you have done is incredible, and how you continue to serve your community and the charities that you choose, not just locally, but nationally. And beyond. So thank you so much for sharing your passion and your purpose with us. Don't put down that paintbrush, girl.
I won't.
Many
blessings.
I love
what Kathy Lee says. As long as you have a pulse, you have a purpose. So we will keep going.
That's right.
Keep painting.
Thank you.
Blessings.
Blessings to you.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.